Page 528, Proverbs, chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to Leah. And then adults remain. Why don't we pray? Let's go. Father Lord, thank you that your word is true. Thank you that your word can be understood by both adults and kids. And thank you that your word changes lives. So we do pray for Mercy and Aaliyah that they will lead the kids in learning about you and that you prepare their hearts to receive your word, that your word might dwell richly in them, that seed will grow and bear fruit for the glory of your name. Amen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Let me add my welcome. My name's Sam. I'm one of the elders here. And what a joy it is to come together, as we do on a Sunday afternoon, to meet together. And a big part of what we do when we do that is we spend some time looking at God's Word. We believe that's the most important thing we can do to learn to grow our knowledge in God, is to come to His Word and study it together. And normally we would go through a book. Normally we would work through a book Sunday by Sunday. For the first three Sundays of this year, we're going to be doing something different. I said this on prayer meeting on Thursday. We're going to focus on our three church values, which are, and you got these on Thursday, which are trusting God, loving our church family, and telling others. Excellent. Trusting God, loving our church family, and telling others. Now, this is different. This is different from the membership stuff that we looked at when we were on our away day. On our away day, we looked at kind of five things of what does it look like to be a member of Becontree Church. And we based that on the early church and the sort of things they were doing. These things are three church values. They are the values that underlie and grow from that membership stuff. That makes sense? For example, our membership expectation of attending the monthly prayer meeting, that comes from a place of trusting God together and loving our church family in prayer. Or being involved in intentional evangelism, that's a big part of telling others, right? The last one. But also in trusting in God's help to do that. Investing in a small group, that's the I, that means we can grow together in trusting God and love each other more meaningfully as we deepen that relationship and fellowship. Using your home and money to serve the church, it means trusting God for those needs in the first place, but also it shows big love for God's work in your church family. And when you open your Bible regularly, God will cultivate these things in your heart. And that's where we're going to look to find out more about them. These three values that, they're the things that Rob and I, we ask God's help to do as elders of the church, and we pray that you would ask for God's help to do the same as we unpack them. So we're going to start with our first value today, our first value of trusting God. So we're going to look at a little bit about what the Bible says, and then we're going to think a little bit about practically what that might look like for us. And then at the end, I'm just going to leave us some time to just pray in groups together as a way of responding to what we've heard. But let's start with a demonstration of trust. Let me ask Rob to come up here. Now, Rob, I'm going to ask you to trust me.
Yep.
So turn around.
Okay.
About there is good. And put your arms out like this. And I want you, without stepping backwards or anything like that, I want you to just fall backwards. Now, for that to work, in the first place, Rob had to make a decision, right? The decision he had to make was, does he trust me? In order for him to fall backwards, he had to think in his head, do I trust this man? He had to decide whether to literally lean on me or to stay on his own two feet. He had to make a judgment about my character, right? Am I a trustworthy person? Now, it helps if he knows my character, okay? We've known each other for lots of years. He knows me. Yes, I love to mess around, but I think I'm sensible enough not to take a step back and let him break into pieces on the floor. That would be a bit mean. It also helps if he knows how strong I am, whether that's going to work or not, whether I'm able to catch him. And I'll let you into a secret. That's not the first time we've done that. We did practice beforehand to make sure it's going to work. So for that to work, Rob had to give me 100% of his trust. No bent knees, no taking a step back before falling, no flinching, 100%. You might have worked out where I'm going with this. Now, this passage we read, it comes from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is one of the wisdom books of the Bible. And what it is, it's a set of sayings put together mostly by King Solomon. And we know, you might remember from a long time ago from 1 Kings, that for a lot of his life, Solomon, his heart desired God-given wisdom. When God asked him, what do you want? He didn't say riches and things like that. He said wisdom. And so actually he was considered one of the wisest people in the Middle East at that time. And wisdom started, Solomon, in chapter 1 of Proverbs, wisdom starts, as Solomon says, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The implication of that is, if you don't fear God, your wisdom cannot progress. Right? You cannot grow in wisdom. So the wise advice in this passage that we looked at today is for those who have found wisdom, for those who fear God, for those who are in awe of his power and his might, in awe of what he's done. And when God's people had that fear, which actually they often didn't, they would have looked here to grow in wisdom once this was written. And here's a piece of wisdom they would have looked at, right? These are the commands that we read in Proverbs 3. So if you have that open in front of you, look at Proverbs 3. And verse 5, the first command we read was, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, the word trust is the Hebrew word, batach. It means to rely on. It means to feel safe with. It means to have confidence in. So the command here is to trust in the Lord, to rely on the Lord, to feel safe in his presence, to have confidence, to be able to hold on to him. So God's people in their lives, they have to make a decision. Do they trust God? The decision is to lean on God or to stand on their own two feet. They have to decide the answer to the question, is he trustworthy? Now, it helps that they know his character, right? They know the things that he's done for them already. They know God as creator, the one who spoke the heavens and the earth into being, the one who created the sun and the moon and the stars, the one who created all the living things around them, the sea, the land, and the one who created human beings and made them in his own image and breathed his life into them. It helps they know that God is a promise-keeping God who entered into a covenant with the great leaders who've gone before them and promised them a nation that would be his people, in his place, under his rule, with his blessing. And also, they know God as their rescuer, right? This is the God who brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of their slavery and protected them in great pillars of cloud and pillars of fire. The one who's fought battles for them and delivered them out of the hands of foreign armies. And they also know that God is a just God, is a good God who will act against evil. And when they do not trust in him and follow his ways, he knows. This is the God who declared to Moses that he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So for God's people, is he trustworthy? Yes, he is. Amen. Solomon, he's not asking them to trust in someone here who they don't know, some random figure, some random God. He's asking them to trust in someone that he knows is not going to let them down, and that they know is not going to let them down. He's asking them to trust it in Yahweh. Literally, the word Lord is Yahweh, the great I am. The loving God who's been with his people from the moment he created them. Trust in the Lord. And how are they to trust in the Lord? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. They're to trust in the Lord with all their heart. The wisdom commanded here is give your whole heart to him. This is not, and it's not just about knowing God. Those things we just listed about God, anyone could know those. A Syrian leader could know those. The devil, he knows loads about God. This is more than that. It's more than a head full of knowledge about God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is a deep, deep reliance on the Lord. This is a settled confidence in his care and faithfulness to his word. There are two more commands here as well. If you're interested, these verses kind of follow a nice structure. It's three commands and their effects, and three more commands and their effects. So it's trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first command. Look at the second command in the second half of verse 5. And do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. If you are leaning on your own understanding, that's the opposite of the first commandment, right? And it says, do not. Some people, for some reason, people seem to have a thing about men and instructions. And the joke goes something like, I've put together this wardrobe, and it's not working. And the wife says, have you read the instructions? What does the man say? What instructions? Right? Or I didn't think I needed those. I have to confess, I do it with kitchen gadgets. I'm all right with an IKEA flat pack. With kitchen gadgets, I tend to plug them in and press the buttons and see what happens. And then inevitably I end up asking Bethan how to cook rice or something like that. To lean on my own understanding is the opposite of trusting in the instructions. It's either trust in the instructions or lean on your own understanding. Should be a warning on the box. It's the same thing, right, in a different phrase. And it's the same here in Proverbs. If God's people are trusting wholeheartedly in God, then there is absolutely no room for trusting in their own understanding. And the fact we've just looked at Kings is helpful for this, because actually what we see when God's people try to lean on their own understanding, what happened? Things didn't go well. To follow this command is to give up what they think is the right course of action and turn to God. To trust in his way rather than their own. So to trust, for example, that he could provide for them in the wilderness rather than moaning and groaning about there being no water. To trust that he could make a way for them to enter the land of Canaan rather than moaning and groaning and wanting to go back to Egypt. To trust that he could fulfill his covenant promises to them. It's a humble thing for their problem-solving meetings to turn into prayer meetings. And then the third command is a similar idea at the beginning of verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That is, in everything that you do, accept God's way. In everything you do, recognize that he is there, that he has a plan. And this is not just a quick, oh, your will be done, your will be done. This is a deep, experiential giving over, handing over of everything to him. From the smallest need, like a parking space, to the biggest change in life. The wise thing to do, the wisdom that Solomon tells us here, is to trust in God, to lean on him, to accept his way. It would have been a humble thing, right? Again, it's a humble thing for God's people to hand their plans over to God. It's a good thing to have plans. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but to hand them over to God, to trust him with them, to stack up all the events in their scroll diaries and say, you're in charge, God. Your will be done. And the Old Testament is full of stories of faithful prophets and kings and servants who have done this. And God's people would have known about these people. You think of Abraham, right? Who took his son by the hand and walked him up a mountain, knowing that at the top he was going to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Think of Noah, who built an ark when God commanded him, even though there was not a cloud in the sky and all the people around were laughing at him. And then even think of someone like Enoch, who we're told walked faithfully with God his whole life. The response to these commands for these people and for God's people is to give 100% of their trust to God. No bent knees, no step back, no flinching. To fully lean on him. And what's the effect of that? Look at the second half of verse 6. He will make straight your paths. He will make straight your paths. What's a straight path? A straight path is one that is completely in line with God's ways and God's will. And did you notice this is God's doing. This is God's doing, right? It's not trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and you will make your path straight. It's he will make your path straight. It's not possible for us to make our own path straight, right? That's like me, Mr. Amateur DIY, without my instructions. I can't make my wardrobe straight without them. But if I trust in the instructions of that flat pack furniture, then I can build it with nice straight edges and everything working. And it's not really me that made it. It's Mr. Instructions, leading my hand, turning my Allen key. For God's people who trust in him, he will make their path straight. He will make their path straight. It's his doing, his plans, his purpose. And for God's people, that often meant walking a path that might not have looked very straight to them. But to God, that was the straight path he had for them. Okay, think back to Abraham, right? When Abraham was walking up that mountain with his son, about to sacrifice him as a burnt offering, there's no way he could be thinking, oh, this is a nice, easy, straight path. But God knew. And God had a substitute ram graciously provided at the top for his son. And for Noah, right, building his ark, gathering his animals, you know, this is not my life plan for the next however many years. This is crazy. He would have doubted at times. But it was God who turned that ark into salvation for Noah and his family. And for Enoch's path, as he faithfully walked with God, it ended with him being taken directly to heaven. But for those who had decided to walk their own ways or were thinking about walking their own ways, this section has another three commands to refocus them, to correct their thinking. Look at verse 7. Three more commands. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, be not wise in your own eyes. That matches up, right, with lean not on your own understanding. That thing you think is wisdom, that thing that your brain is telling you is wise, think again. Ask God what he thinks instead. And fear the Lord. Well, remember what it said at the beginning of Proverbs? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're not trusting in God, go back to the basics. Spiritual milk. Page 1 of the instruction booklet. If you're trying to lean on your own understanding, go back to the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Spend some more time studying his character. And the third command, if you've been walking in your own ways, Solomon says, repent. Right? That's what repentance means, turning. Literally turn away from evil. Evil is not wisdom. Evil is living your own way, forgetting God, trusting in other things, including yourself. Turn away from evil, repent, ask God for forgiveness, and turn back to him. Turn from trusting yourself to trusting him. Turn from your own understanding to him. Acknowledge him in everything. Turn from your plans to his. And look at the effect in verse 8 of those three commands. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Literally, it will be healing to your navel and medicine to your bones. That's free. That sounds like freedom, right? There's freedom for God's people in trusting him. There's freedom of letting go where their own eyes want them to go and giving everything to him. There is freedom in turning away from evil and turning to his perfect ways. And at times this would have meant difficult obedience. But God was with them. And when they trusted in him, he would make their path straight. The problem is that most of the people who we look at in the Old Testament who model trusting in God for us, they don't do it with their whole heart. They don't manage it. There's always some element of leaning on their own understanding. Even Solomon, who wrote this, remember from the beginning of 1 Kings? He had loads of wives, and he began to trust in their understanding and trust in their gods. And God ended up splitting his kingdom in half as a consequence for that. So we need a model truster. A model person who trusts in the Lord with all their heart. Someone who never leans on their own understanding. Someone who acknowledges God in all their ways. Someone who walked the straightest of paths. Who do we need? Jesus. Jesus, who trusted God to leave the splendor of heaven and be born on earth as a baby. Jesus, who trusted God completely as he walked the path of his life, even though it meant hardship and rejection and difficulties and sadness and grief. Who trusted God in difficult and yet complete obedience, in surrender to God's will, even though he knew that straight path ended in death. And when he, at the point where he was struggling beyond anything we could imagine, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out to God, "Not my will, but your will be done." As he was put through a false trial, he was mocked and beaten and nailed to a cross, he entrusted his life to his Father. And he walked up that hill of Calvary knowing that he was the one about to be offered as a once and for all sacrifice. And there wasn't going to be a substitute ram at the top. He was the substitute for us. He was the substitute to take the punishment that we deserve. He surrendered himself to have his flesh torn and his bones beaten so that we might be healed and refreshed in the new life found in him. What does it look like to trust in God? Looks like Jesus. Looks like Jesus, complete surrender to God's will, whatever it cost him, even his life. It means to give our own crooked paths over to his plans. It means to take our own understanding of what our life should be like, throw them away, and lean on him with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, whatever that costs us, even our lives. So God's command to us today from Proverbs is our first value. We want to be a church that trusts God. And for this to work, we have to make a decision. Do we trust God? we have to make a decision. Do we lean on God? Or do we stay on our own two feet? We have to make a judgment about him. Is he trustworthy? Is he trustworthy? And it helps that we know his character, right? Through the pages of his Bible, he is the same God that we described earlier. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And we can decide whether or not he's trustworthy by the things he's done for us. And we're blessed. We have so much more than the people who are reading Proverbs would have. We have the whole story of the Bible laid out before us. That's why it's such a blessing for those who are doing the training ground to be able to start by studying the story of the Bible. We can see that God has fulfilled his promise to bring about his people in his place, under his rule, and under his blessing. And we can see God's grace poured out on us, right? To have freedom from the slavery of sin. What has God done for us? He sent his one and only Son so that when we put our trust in him, we are saved. And then he poured out his Spirit on us. And we have the gift of the Spirit living inside us who prompts us and shows us and says, hang on a minute, you're not following God. You're not trusting in God. And he leads us in the plans that God has for us if we surrender ourselves to him. And we trust in his promises to come, that one day we will be with him for all eternity in a new heaven and a new earth. And this is the bit where I want you to play a part, because not only do we have God's word, we have testimony of what he has done for us here in Becontree Church, right? The blessing he has poured out on us in addition to all those beautiful truths in his word. So let's share, just shout out the things I asked you to kind of, things that you thought of that God has done for you to show he's trustworthy in the last academic year. Just shout them out nice and short. Go on, go for it. Someone kick us off. Saved your life. Praise God. He's looking amazing. Praise God for looking after. He's looking after your mum. He is trustworthy. What else? He's looked after your wife. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God who provided for you. Praise God. Yeah, faithful witness, 70 years. Come on, there's more. Don't be shy. Come on, just say it. Go on, shout it. This is a God we trust, right? This is the God we trust in. I know you've got more. There's a bit, you'll be able to share them in a small group. And so for us as a church, let's start this year. Let's start this year by checking our hearts. Because the big temptation for us in life, and especially in a city like London, is for us to rely on ourselves. To trust in ourselves. That's what we want to do, right? That's a pride thing. When something goes wrong, or even when something's not going on, our pride says, trust in yourself. You can do it. Are we trusting in God with our whole heart? Are we leaning on him 100%? For me, the answer is no. I imagine it's probably the same for you. And so we start at a place of repentance. We're going to have an opportunity to pray together in a minute. We start with a place of repentance. We say sorry to God for trusting in ourselves or others. And then we ask for help. We ask for God's help to make our path straight. We need him to align our plans and his will. We need his help to hand our worries and our plans over to him. And we can do that when things are easy, and it's tempting when things are easy to forget God, but also when things are difficult and we can be tempted to try and problem solve things ourselves. In times of such difficulty, right, we need the Holy Spirit to take us and lead us to God. Let's look at how Jesus puts it. Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 together. Page 811. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? I'll be honest with you, I don't know how we as a family would have survived the last few months without the Holy Spirit helping us to trust God, to hold on to his promises, to surrender us to his will and his plans. There is such freedom for us in trusting God and holding on to him. There is such peace to be found in trusting in God and holding on to him. We don't need to worry if we trust that God is in control and he is making our path straight. So let's start this year with this command: trust in the Lord. In all the things you have planned in your lives, trust in the Lord. In the life of the church, in all the things we have planned as a church, trust in the Lord. In all of your serving and in all of your giving, trust in the Lord. And pray for us, as we did at the prayer meeting. Pray for us as a staff team, as we work for church, that we would trust in the Lord. Pray for Rob and I as elders of the church, that we would trust in the Lord. And he will make our paths straight and the paths of this church straight. And when we come alongside each other in trials, rather than trying to launch into sort of worldly problem solving, the first thing we can do together is trust in the Lord. Cry out to him in prayer. See what his word has to say about the situation. See what his understanding is on whatever's going on. And as we come together on Sundays, right, we can rejoice and praise and trust in him together. That first song we sung, forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Our hearts are glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Becketree Church, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we want to surrender ourselves to you. We want to surrender ourselves to your will and your way. And we can't do that on our own. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to lean on you. To lean on you with all our heart. To trust in your understanding. Because you are so trustworthy. Lord, you have done great things. You have poured your grace out on us. And help us, Lord, to surrender ourselves to you, and in so doing, find such freedom as we seek your face. Lord, we ask for your help in doing this. In your precious name. Amen. And what we're going to do now to respond to this, we're going to sing in a minute. Before we do that, I just want us to get into to groups and pray. I'll put the prayer points up on the screen. I've just turned it back on. The first thing is to ask for forgiveness for when you haven't trusted God with all your heart. And the second thing is to say thank you for God in the ways that you can just recall to mind in which he's been trustworthy in his word and in our lives. To ask God for his help in difficult situations. If you're going to share quickly. Yeah, just a quick overview of the thing. What I don't want is for us to spend the whole time sharing and a little bit of time praying. I want us to spend as much time praying as possible. And also, let's ask for God's help to trust him in church life, including in those membership commitments that we talked about at the beginning. So let's just do that. Let's turn into groups and let's pray.